Hey guys, let's have an AA meeting. My name is Tim, and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday night Blue Chip speaker meeting at the Napa Club. Where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year of more sobriety tells his or her story.
Hey, I'm Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our own personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on aabluechipspeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, "Yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing." And I'm introducing the speaker tonight, who is my bestie for the restie. And I met her in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. She is an amazing woman with an amazing story, full of God, full of hope. You're just going to love her. Here she comes, Paola.
Paola.
Hi, I'm Paola, I'm an alcoholic. Thank you so much, Tim, for asking me to come today to share my story. I'm really nervous right now. Well, I'm supposed to tell you how it was for me before picking up my white chip, and that's what I'm going to do first. And then I'll tell you what happened and what is it like today. Well, my sobriety day is June 21st, 2011, and I have a sponsor, and I have an accent, as you can say. I was born and raised in Lima, Peru, so I speak Spanish, too, a little English, just a little. I live with my dad and my mom. I have two brothers. I'm in the middle, and my childhood was pretty, I guess, okay, you know, just my dad. We didn't have a relationship. He was in the military, and he was really strict. He was in the Navy, and we fear my dad a lot, and I grew up like that, with that fear of we couldn't talk, we couldn't say many things, we didn't talk about feelings, and but I guess for me it was just normal, it's what we had, and you know, my mom was there, but she didn't have a lot of saying on the family thing, so they had a really big social life, so they went out a lot, and we would stay with the babysitters, and on the weekends, mostly, they would have parties and social events, and alcohol was around the house a lot. My mom didn't drink, but my dad did. A lot, but I didn't know anything about alcoholism or anything, so for me it was normal. Actually, it was really good because those were the times where I could talk to my dad. He was very open and very happy and content when he drank, so he was like a fun drink, you know. I was looking forward to the weekend because we didn't talk really, you know, but at least those were the times that I could just relax and be okay and not be afraid. So it was this concept of, you know, having the weekends or any social event to be able to just relax and be okay around him. And so that's how I grew up. And then my first drink was when I was, I think it was like 14 years old, when with a friend, you know, we wanted to try how it was, what it was like drinking. But I don't think anything happened really. We got drunk or we fall asleep, and it wasn't like crazy, and I think nothing happened until I was maybe 18 or 19 years old, something like that. And so during this time, I don't have, you know, my story has alcohol only because I didn't do drugs or anything like that, and I felt like I was a kind of a good girl. I didn't get in trouble or anything like that until I was older. And I feel like a lot of that was because I was so afraid of my dad, really afraid of him. So that might have saved me really from myself, all the things that I could have done. That's what I think today. So my I was going to the college and all that stuff, and it was pretty much okay, you know, drinking here and there sometime, but it wasn't really bad. And I got into my first serious relationship with, you know, I had this boyfriend, and at that point, you know, we worked it out, like my dad would allow him to come to my house, and we decided, but for me, it was just impossible to live around my dad. I wanted to leave my house, it was really hard to be around him. And so we got married, and I left, and that's when I started drinking really hard, and my alcoholism escalated, and I didn't know even that I was an alcoholic. I was just drinking, and I thought I was, you know, we got married, and I was 21, I think, and he was older than me for like 8 years, and he wanted a relationship and a commitment and all that, and I wasn't ready at all. I thought I was, but I didn't know about commitment or any of that, so what I wanted, and I thought I was in love, but really for me it was a way out, and I really wanted to have fun, to drink, to do all the things that I didn't do. And so it was really hard because I felt trapped and I couldn't really explain myself. I didn't know what was going on with me, and I was just doing all these crazy things. So I became from being this good girl that I thought I was to this crazy, insane person that was doing all these crazy things and just behaving in a way that it seemed like it wasn't really me. So, you know, one relationship after the other one, because this one, of course, didn't work out, you know, and a lot of people got hurt in this process, you know, a lot of things happened, and I didn't know how that, you know, this urge of doing all these things just really overpowered me, and I couldn't control myself, and I was just drinking and drinking all the time. And I'm lying. That was my thing, you know. I will lie to you in your face, you know. We saw you right there with this guy, or you did this, and I will say, it wasn't me. I did not do that. That wasn't me. And that was me all the time. So it's like I had these double lies. And it's not that I did those things, and I was like, yay, or all that stuff. You know, when I woke up from whatever drunkenness or whatever, I was full of fear, shame, and remorse, and I didn't know how to get out of that. So what I did next was drinking more. So that's what I did all the time, just drink more and more and more, because I just couldn't look myself in the mirror. And it was hard for me, you know, okay, I need to drink more because I can't deal with my family and my brothers, my friends, my closest friends, and my dad or my mom. So I was escaping from everybody and everywhere. And what happened next is that we got divorced, and I went, like I said, you know, from one relationship to the other one, and then I met my actual husband. And I feel today that this was like really God putting a person in my life that will help me, or I don't know, it was something like that, because I feel like when I met him, I really wanted this relationship to work. So for whatever reason that I don't know, I slowed down with my drinking, and I tried to, I was working and doing all these things, but still, I tried not to live that double life that I was living. That's what I'm trying to say. So we started dating, and we were, you know, going out and all that, but he didn't know, you know, this guy was from a different place, so from Peru still, but he didn't know the things that, you know, the crazy woman that I was at that point. So I was trying to hide all my stuff and all my things, but still, it was really hard at that point for me not to drink. So we're going out, and I needed to or drink before or try to control my drink so I don't get too drunk, and just, you know, like, it's always like an act that I, you know, I don't want anyone to know. And it's exhausting, and I was exhausted, and I was sick and tired, but I was still doing it all the time. So I get pregnant, we get married, and he kind of started like noticing that something was off with me, you know, sometimes. Even though I wasn't drinking every day, he was like, okay, what's going on with you? You know, I will pass out, or I will just go and I don't know, he will find bottles of alcohol in places, and I was lying like I did all the time. I have these huge excuses why that was there or what happened. So when I got pregnant, it was even more difficult because I could not drink. And I didn't drink every day, thank God, but I was scared the whole time because I was obsessing about when I was going to get that, be able to get that next drink. And I remember going to the doctor, and that was all I talked about. Like, but my friend said that I could have 2 glasses of wine. But this person told me I wanted to so bad for the doctor to tell me that I could drink. There was a reason, one, that I could drink. And that never happened. I my doctor never told me that it was okay even once. I'm like, oh my God, no, that's what he said. So, but I did it anyway because I just could not drink. And I remember praying every single day, you know, God, please save my baby. You know, I don't know what's happening. I don't know why I keep doing this, but I can't. And I thought that I was really happy about, you know, wanting to be a mom, becoming a mom, but still, you know, I was powerless. That's what I know today. And so I have a baby. I mean, he's so healthy and amazing. And, you know, by God's grace, that happened. And I still, you know, I'm still an alcoholic, of course. And I'm drinking more and drinking more and drinking more. And then my husband got a job transfer to move here to the U.S. We moved to Ohio. And I was so happy because I wanted to escape from that life. That little girl know that say, you know, everywhere you go, there you are. So there I was, there with me again. And I thought that it was going to be better, and I was so happy that everything was going to be different. But of course, nothing was different. And I remember being in a hotel at the beginning, you know, because we're getting all settled with the job, and I'm stay home mom with the baby, and my son was 4 months old. And I remember being in a hotel in Ohio, and it was like -5 degrees. It was so cold, and with the snow, and I'm in the hotel thinking, what can I do right now? You know, what's going on? And of course, the obsession right away, like always, you know, maybe I can have a drink right now, and I'm going to relax, I'm going to just watch some TV and do this, and I will go with the baby in the car seat just to cross the street. It was like a gas station. I will get alcohol, I get to the hotel, but all these, you know, crazy things. And I remember also crossing like a highway with a stroller just to be able to get to the grocery store, and crazy, and with a baby. But I needed to go to those, you know, any links to be able to get that fixed, and that's what I did. And driving with my kids, and then by the time that, you know, I have one, and then we moved to a house, and, you know, I wasn't there anymore, so we went to a house, but I still drink it, and I was hiding it, all the time hiding it. You know, my husband kind of knew that I was drinking sometimes. He was working and busy, so I tried to control drinking. So I'll drink sometimes, you know, when the baby's sleeping, or, I don't know, you know, I starting at noontime. It's probably like the books that just drinking only beer, you know, drinking wine, or drinking on these occasions, and it worked for a little while. You know, when my husband will come home, I will make sure everything is fixed and clean and ready, and, you know, nothing is wrong, so he will think that everything is going okay. You know, there wasn't a problem with me. And I managed to do it for a while, and until I couldn't do it anymore. I was physically sick from so much alcohol that I felt so bad that I was going to pass out at any moment, and I couldn't even talk to anyone. I didn't have any friends. I knew some people, but of course I'm not going to tell them how much I'm drinking or that I'm an alcoholic, and I didn't know what an alcoholic was. So I started like Googling, you know, drinking too much or drinking whatever. So I'm like, okay, maybe I'm an alcoholic. I don't know. I need help. And so I decided to tell my husband that I have a problem, that maybe that he needs to help me, because I couldn't do it anymore. I was really afraid for my baby, and he was already like a year old. And I remember also having this detox moment that I used to do myself, you know, at home, because I didn't want to drink every single day. So I would just stop drinking, and I'm okay, I'm not going to drink for a while. And calling my husband desperate because I'm going to have like a heart attack, and I feel like I'm dying. And I go to the urgent care to see what's going on with me, what's wrong with me. And the doctor looking at me and telling me, I don't know, what's going on? I'm telling her what's happening. And I remember her looking at me and asking me if my husband was abusive, physically abusive. And I'm like, no, why? And she like, with my arm here, I'm full of like bruises. And it was just me drinking, you know, the walking, like stumbling everywhere with the doors and all that stuff. So it was just me. And it was horrible. And I didn't even know. So that was also another time where I'm like, oh my God, you know, what am I doing? And so only by the grace of God, really, my son was okay. Because when I think, though, I just don't understand how I'm still here. My husband, I told my husband, I need help, you know, I'm crying, I need help, really, I don't know what to do. And he's like, are you sure what's going on? Because, of course, he knew a little because he found something, but he didn't know how bad it was. And he told me, well, we just said it's really bad, let's go, and we're going to go on a trip, we're going to Peru. So I have family there, so I went to an outpatient treatment for 28 days, and I learned about alcoholism, and we read a big book and all that stuff, and I'm like, okay, you know, I got sober, and I'm going to start going to AA, and it's going to be good, I'm going to do it. It was horrible, I hated it, because I need to leave my baby, and, you know, she's going back to Ohio to work, and I'm there, and I'm like, oh my God, what's happening? What is this? I don't understand this life right now, you know, I need to leave my job. It was just like so confusing for me. I'm so fast. And so I need to go to AA. So I need to come back again to Ohio. And I started looking for meetings. And I thought that I really wanted to do it. I had to do it. Otherwise, I knew I was going to die. And I already knew about the disease, you know, what it does to you and all that. So I started going to AA in Ohio, at Ohio meeting. So I, at that moment, you know, I felt so, like, I didn't think I speak English, and oh my God, I don't understand. But still, you know, I'm going to meetings, I show up, I'm sitting in there, and I meet really, really a good group of people that wanted to help me, and I got a sponsor. And at the beginning, you know, I did step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I didn't do the fifth step, and what was missing for me, it was that I didn't do step one. I still had reservations, and maybe one day I could drink like a normal person. That's what I know today, that I didn't have reservations. So I'm going to these meetings, I'm staying sober, and I have, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and I remember at the meeting, my sponsor came to me and said, you know, today is your 4-year anniversary, and I didn't know, you know, I was so surprised, and she gave me a tip, and she's like, yeah, one day, and I had already relapsed 6 months before that, and she didn't know, and again, the lies, and I didn't tell anyone. And what happened, going back, you know, it was that I had a reservation. So when I was 3.5 years, I decided I was going to go and drink again because, you know, I'm bored, you know. I don't think I'm an alcoholic. I think this is not for me. You know, I can't relate. I didn't have any DUI. I don't know. Maybe it was just, I was too stressful, whatever happened, but I don't think I'm an alcoholic. And by that time, I have a second child, and so I have, and my first son was like 6 years old, and my second boy was 2, and I started drinking a lot, and so when I picked up that fellowship, I didn't even got honest and tell anyone. I left the meeting, and I was so full of shame that I didn't care. I'm not going to tell anyone that I am drinking again. I'm just going to pretend that I'm not. And that's what I did. And, you know, it lasted maybe 6 more months until I was really sick again, you know, to be able to just really go and say, I need help. I've been drinking and I'm doing this. And I'm so grateful that I got to a point that I needed to do it. I didn't even do it. My husband told my sponsor, you know, she's drinking. You know, she's not doing anything. I'm like, oh, my God. I was to say that. But today I'm grateful that he did that because otherwise I don't think I would have ever said, tell, you know, do it. I don't think so. So it took me 2 years for me to get sober. And I don't want to try because Lisa can kill me. But I thought I wanted to get sober. I really thought I wanted to get sober, to stay sober. But I just could not drink after I picked up that drink. It was so hard. That obsession came back, and all I could think about was when I'm going to drink again, when I'm going to have that next drink. And I couldn't take care of my kids. I couldn't do anything because I would stay sober for 1 month, maybe 2 months, And then I would drink again, and I did binge drinking. So I was drinking for 3 days or four or a week, and I got so sick every single time. Like the book said, you know, every worse relapse all the time, thinking that I'm regaining control a little bit. Yes, it's a little better, and oh my God, it is so bad, and it's every time it's worse. And I'm dying, and I don't know what to do because I cannot tell my husband. And again, I'm lying to everyone, and I can't say that. And so I decided that I needed to get sober again. I thought I had decided that, but I didn't. You know, I kept drinking again. And so, but again, physically, I couldn't do it anymore. And my husband, well, he already knew what was going on. And he told me, I just can't do this. You know, I'm not gonna do it with my kids. And I love you so much. And he did. He was there for me. And he, oh my God, you know, he went through so many things. He protected my kids from myself. But he was going to leave, and I knew he was going to leave. And I saw that, I heard him really for the first time that he was, and I was losing everything. And so I say, oh my God, okay, I need to do something. And by this time, we were moving from Ohio to Georgia for work again. And I'm just like so hopeless. I'm like, what am I going to do? This is not working for me. You know, who am I? So God help me, because really I didn't know what I was doing wrong or anything, but I knew AA worked for a little time, so maybe I missed something there, so I need to go back to AA. So I did, you know, as much as I hated it, as much as I thought that it was not going to work, I didn't have any other choice. So I remember going to Serenity House at the mixed meeting and sitting like in the middle of the people and just, you know, acting like I'm okay, you know, I'm normal, you know, nothing's going on with me, I'm not new at all, you know, I'm an old timer. So I don't know, I was so scared that someone would come to me and talk to me, but that's what I wanted really. So for the people that knew, of course, they would come to me and talk to me, and I would get really honest and ask for help. But I wouldn't go to people. I was just too scared or too, I don't know what it was really, but I'm so grateful that people that come to the newcomers, you know, and ask, you know, hey, my name is whoever, and you know, I what's going on, what's your name? Because sometimes, you know, for people it's not easy just to go and say hello, and for me it wasn't at all. So that's how I got a sponsor, and I was so willing, like the book said, that the dying could be, and I really wanted to make this work. You know, I was willing to go to any length to stay sober this time, and oh my God, I was willing. So I didn't have the sponsor that chased me and tell me, you know, you have to do this now, now, now. I was the one, you know, chasing my sponsor, you know, desperate, telling her what I need to do next and what am I doing. And it wasn't easy for me this time, you know. I have been out for 2 years and with the family, and everything was so unmanageable. I just didn't know how to do things, how to focus, how to read. I was full still of shame and remorse. And but it didn't matter, really. I needed to get sober. I didn't want to die. I didn't want to leave my children. And so I got my sponsor and started working the steps. And I just felt for the first year, I did feel lonely and really like different, but it was a good different. It wasn't like a bad different. So I kept coming back, and I knew this was my chance, you know, and God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. So I started seeing the light a little bit, and if I didn't, I didn't care, because I knew that somehow, for whatever reason, you know, I needed to believe that this was going to work, and it was going to take time. So I kept coming back, and I started getting, you know, I started having friends, and, you know, here and there. And I remember also thinking, oh my God, you know, I see all these people, friends with everyone, having these groups, and I'm alone all the time. I don't have many, because I speak Spanish, you know, no one understands me. You know, always something in my head. And I remember my sponsor telling me, you know, things are going to happen when they are supposed to happen. You know, you're going to meet the people that you need. And instead of me forcing all the situations, I need to be here, I need to be with this group, and it wasn't happening. So when I let go and let it flow, things started happening in my life. Amazing. Like, I have the most amazing friends in my life today that I know I couldn't do it without them. You know, I have an amazing God today. And, you know, God restored my family, my kids, my husband, and I never thought I could really stay sober and be happy. And that's how I feel most of the time, at least reasonable happy. I do, you know, my life happened, you know, oh my God, you know, I thought I had it, like my two boys, you know, they're 13 and 9, and then I get pregnant again, now I have a baby. She's 1 year old, it's a girl, so she's 1 year old, and it's an amazing miracle and a blessing, but that wasn't my plan, you know, I needed to look and say, God, really, now? But it's amazing, and today it feels so right and perfect, and we are, you know, in this relationship. That is to me, you know, it looks like a God is in the middle, a God relationship, and we are able to walk through things together, and everything's not really pretty right now, you know, there are so many things, not with my relationship, I mean, you know, life gets lifey, right? So, but it's so good, because I don't have to pick up that drink, and I can be there for my children, for my family, you know, emotionally available. I never was, really, I was thinking today about the time where I was with my kids, you know, like giving them baths, or taking them to the school bath, and just being so drunk that I missed the whole thing. I was just missing the whole thing, and I don't want to miss it anymore. I was just talking to Lisa, you know, my God, you know, we get to be moms today, and just to give our kids this life, you know. I remember my kids being scared. They weren't really evil, and they don't remember because they were little, and then I had this time when I was sober. But I remember them seeing me really sick, like in bed. They didn't know maybe what was going on, but that look on my kids, you know, like what's happening, the confusion, the I don't understand why she's here and then she's there. And I don't have to be like that anymore. I don't have to live like that. So every time I am with my kids, you know, I do those living amends with my husband, though sometimes a little hard with my husband, you know, because, you know, husbands. But I am willing to do it, and I'm willing, you know, to talk to my sponsor, to work the steps. You know, I work the steps, and I keep doing it. You know, I have a service position. I do all these things because that's the only way that I can stay connected, because I don't want to disconnect ever again, because I know that if I disconnect, I'm going to drink again, and I don't want to drink again. And for me, you know, that relapse was something that needed to happen to me to believe that this disease is going to kill me, because for whatever reason, I didn't believe that the first time. I thought I did, but I didn't. But this time I know that it's going to kill me, and it's not a game. So I can't play with that. I can't disconnect. I need to keep coming back. And I need to keep reaching out, and I cannot have that attitude that I know it all, and I remain teachable. And sometimes it's not easy to ask for help, you know, but I do. I don't know. I feel like when you have that discipline, you know, that I learn here, you know, I don't just keep doing it, and I just keep doing it, and it just feels good. And life is good today. I'm really grateful for all the many blessings that I have in my life today. I think that's all I have.
It was an amazing story. I really appreciated that. Very, very well done. Thank you. All right.
Sure.
Chris Porter, Grateful Recovered Alcoholic.
Hi, Chris.
This is Tim. And if you'll forgive me for a moment, yo quisiera hablar con ella. Gracias para tu testigo. Pude relatar bien. Era magnífico de Dios. Otra vez, gracias. I know we weren't talking about y'all. But, yeah, it was great. Thank you so much. And 10 years, I can't believe the time goes by so fast. Can't believe that it was Saturday, August 13th, it was Saturday, actually. God sent a man, and, you know, and his wife, a man and his wife, and a family of people that showed me how to live a different way. Yeah, I'd come to AA for a long time, and I sat in your meetings, and I pretended to pay attention. And you know, I went to public school like the next guy. I can read your book. I know how to spit stuff out to you, and I know the right time to say it, and when to say it, and who to say it to, and how to say it. But I was never willing to get sober. And by some miracle, on August 13th of 2006... you know, I can't help it. I'll use a biblical analogy. I hope it doesn't offend you. My soil became fertile. And how that happened, I don't know. But it did happen. And I thank God for everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous and God and all his kids. If it wasn't for his kids, you know, a friend of mine talks about secondhand and firsthand God. He says for a real alcoholic, we have to have first-hand God in order to get sober. And he talks and he describes Alcoholics Anonymous as second-hand God. And he said, if it wasn't for second-hand God, I never would have found first-hand God. And amen. That's the best word I know for that. So I'm thankful for second and first-hand God. So thank you so much.
I had no idea that she was picking up today.
Aww.
So I'm just going to say something very brief. Very brief. I absolutely adore this woman. We're friends on Facebook. And so there's certain things that you learn about people on Facebook. There's people that post that, you know, all frou-frou. Oh, my life is just fabulous. Well, her life actually is. I'm surprised you're not wearing your token, what is it, your animal print?
Leopard print.
She always wears that, especially in her pictures. Anyway, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that I get to give it to you.
Thank you, guys. I'm Sonia Grove, alcoholic. This is 6 years. Feels really, really, really good. Quick shout out to my girl Paola. Amazing story. I could relate to a lot of it. Just beautiful. You did an amazing job. So I'm just going to say I'm proud of you. AA, didn't want to be here. Came in here for fear. Didn't want to lose my husband, my best friend. I have a family of alcoholics. My sister died to this disease three years ago on the 25th of July. She was not willing to take a seat in this program. When I came in here, I heard, you know, people you know are going to die, you know, people you know are going to go back out, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, whatever. I have seen that happen. I have seen people that I never thought would pick up a drink. Today, there is nothing more cherished than this gift of sobriety to me. You know, like I said, I didn't hit the bottom elevator. I'm a happy person. I mean, I drank it just because it was sunshine. And why not? You know, oh, it's a cloud. Let's drink. Oh, let's do yard work. Let's drink. You know, but it got to the point where I crossed that line and I could no longer control it. And, you know, in the beginning, I was all like, why am I an alcoholic? Why me? Oh, my God. Life is over. And today I'm like, yes. I think everybody should be alcoholic. I think it's a great way to live. It's taught me about the booze and the poison, but it's also taught me a lot about myself as an individual and other people. And what I really love is the diversity in this program. I love that we have people from all over the world, all color, races, sizes. And we may have different completely lives, but down in our soul, we're the same people. And I'm really grateful for that. And you guys, thanks for guiding me along the way. Appreciate it.
She does have animal print on her hair clip.
Yeah.
So she didn't completely let me down.